Thank you to everyone who has taken part in the service this morning. It's been rich, and we thank you for it. You know the sense of excitement and nervousness when you're starting out on a new adventure? I can think back to when we were heading out on family camping trips, and we were going to some place we'd never been before. We didn't know what the circumstances exactly were going to be. Sometimes it was in bear country, and we weren't sure whether the canvas was good enough to resist the bear, or just those kinds of things that left some sense of adventure. Something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone and thrust you into new circumstances. Maybe some of you have gone on a whitewater rafting adventure, and that would certainly cause some nervousness ahead. Well, I have a little bit of that kind of sense of that feeling this morning, not quite whitewater rafting, but for me as your pastor, and I think for us as a church, we're starting out on somewhat of a new adventure in thinking and studying about sharing the wonderful news of the gospel with people in the setting of new friendships that I believe God wants us to make in our lives. I've done this kind of thing with smaller groups or through parachurch settings, but never on a congregation-wide basis for four Sundays in a row. So I hope that you will come along and share some of the excitement and the enthusiasm and just the sense that we're maybe exploring some new borders a little bit in our own church and in what God wants us to do out of this. Now, most of you know that we have home group study sessions each week to interact further with this material. We've been talking about it for a number of weeks. They're very friendly, very safe groups. We're not going to be requiring you to do anything weird in these groups, and it's for only 4 weeks. There's a book to read, and this is Just Walk Across the Room book, and this is for sale at the table in the foyer after the service, and we trust that many of you will pick up, even if you can't take part in a small group. This book is very much worth the cost, and it's very helpful in reading it. A number of people that have been involved in the advance work of these weeks have read the book and have fed back that they've found it very helpful and very encouraging in their own lives. There's an opportunity in these next weeks to take some significant steps forward in sharing the single greatest gift that exists in all of the world. Group leaders, if you will pick up your materials after the service out in the foyer, there's DVDs, and that will guide the groups in some of the segments that you will go through. So check in with Robert. There's still an opportunity this morning to join in a group if you wish. And again, that's the opportunity. Speak to Robert Young in the foyer after the service. Let me pass on a story that is actually from this book, but it really serves as the seed idea of why we use the title Just Walk Across the Room. And I think it will serve as a model to challenge our thinking in the days ahead. The story that I'm passing on to you is actually the testimony of a large African-American gentleman with a Muslim-sounding name. Let's call him Ali. Think Muhammad Ali, big African-American. Ali was a businessman in the deep south of the United States, who would be considered a Bible Belt area. He said his business often put him in meetings and receptions where he was the only black person to be there, and especially the only black Muslim to be in that setting. He said it was often uncomfortable. He learned to live with it for the sake of business. And so, in his pattern, he would show up, he would introduce himself around at the reception place, making business contacts, and he said inevitably he would end up standing alone in the reception room. But he would be plotting his earliest exit while still being polite. In one such setting, Ali happened to notice a man who was deep in conversation with a circle of his own kind. But just his eyes happened to rest on the group. And as he was watching, a man in that group happened to glance around the room as he was interacting with his own group. And he made eye contact with Ali across the room. And as Ali watched, he was drawn by that eye contact. He watched this man excuse himself from his group, walk clear across the room, stick out his hand, and introduce himself. Ali says it was so easy and natural. He said we chatted about business, about families, about sports, and eventually some issues of faith came up. Ali speaking. He said, I took the risk of telling him I was Muslim. He responded that he was a Christ follower, but that he knew nothing about Islam. He shocked Ali when he asked if they could meet for coffee so that they could chat about Ali's belief system. Well, as their experience developed, they formed a friendship, genuinely exploring Islam. And one day, as the conversations continued, quite naturally and logically, Ali asked his friend about his beliefs. And the new friend patiently explained why he had given his whole life to Jesus. These discussions went on for some time, and there finally came a day at home, alone. Ali says he felt compelled to pray, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. His words, in the space of a week, that single decision changed everything in my world, every single thing. And by the time this testimony was written, Ali had become part of the leadership of his local church. Great story. Praise God for that happening. The very heart of the story is one person caring enough about another person to intentionally pull out of his or her comfort zone and to enter into the zone of the unknown, to extend a hand of friendship to someone who is probably quite unintentionally alone and uncomfortable or in some way available. The Spirit of God had prompted this man to take the walk across the room and to be a friend. And out of that, to pass on the greatest gift that anyone can give. That's the model. That's what we're going to be exploring as these weeks go on. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And so I don't think you're going to find anything terribly complicated in what we're doing. But there's a God pattern behind this. Think about this metaphor with me. Jesus entered the zone of the unknown for our sakes. He was in the ultimate circle of comfort. He was part of the sublime fellowship of the Trinity. And that's something we can only get to the edge of in our imaginations. And read all the Bible and read it over again numerous times and to try and understand what it meant for Jesus to be in heaven there with God the Father, God the Son, and himself, or himself, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there's a plurality there, and that comes into the language of the Scriptures. And yet Jesus wrapped himself in human flesh and pulled away from his comfort zone, walked across the cosmos into the zone of the unknown in order to reach out a hand to people like you and me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 summarizes this redemptive walk across the room. To step across time and space because he cares for you. To engage us first of all with his love. And out of that act of love to offer acceptance and love and forgiveness into our lives. Look at this verse with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, we hadn't done anything to deserve God's interest. It was quite the opposite, and certainly not anything to merit God's Son dying for us. But Jesus stated it clearly and understandably for us. His words were, I came to seek and to save what was lost. Talk about a walk across a room. It was intentional, and it started with love and compassion. Out of that, friends, we have received the greatest single gift that exists. As our scripture reading today said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace, by the giving of God, that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we know that our Lord said that in receiving that gift, we would receive power in our Christian lives from the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. Do you remember what that was? It was so that we could be witnesses. In one way or another, the start of being a witness is often a simple walk across the room. I remember so vividly a walk that I took that resulted in something far more than what I could have dreamed of. This happened quite a number of years ago. It connected me with a man by the name of Ivan. And it wasn't across a room, it was across a parking lot. Ivan's wife had started attending the church I was pastoring in Calgary when it was not much more than a church plant. It was a relatively small congregation. And Dell just persistently asked us to pray for her husband. Now, she let us know that Ivan was far from acknowledging God in his life. He had declared that he would never step foot in a church. To him, a pastor was the enemy. I was a threat to his very sinful way of life. But because of a business deal that he was exploring, he had a visit to his home from a businessman from Ontario that came out. They were looking at combining together to start a new business. And wouldn't you know it, this prospective business partner turned out to be a Christian. Well, Ivan, because of a series of circumstances, had no choice but to accompany the business partner and his wife to a Sunday evening service. How well I remember seeing him for the first time. Now, you have to know that Ivan was around 6'6" and well filled out, and you couldn't miss him, especially in a small Sunday evening congregation. He was sitting between his wife and this businessman, and he was not having a good time. There was a scowl on his face, his arms were crossed, and not once during the time that I was on the platform in front of him did he make eye contact with me. Definitely not having a good time. And I look forward to meeting him after the service and truly making him uncomfortable by being nice to him. In the foyer after the service, Ivan watched for when I was busy talking to some people and quickly skirted around that little group and made it to safety, he thought, in his car out in the parking lot to wait for the others. When I turned around and realized that he had gone, it was hard to miss, and the target had been on him. And when I realized he had gone, I bolted out the doors. I didn't even think. I just bolted out the doors, ran over to his car, rapped on his window, and he's basically a polite guy. And so he had to roll the window down. And I stuck my hand in and introduced myself and said, "Ivan, I just wanted to meet you. Glad to see you." And that was it. I had no idea how that spontaneous walk across the parking lot would impact Ivan. I've heard him give his testimony quite a few times since, and that's why I know what was going on in his head. As well as in mine. He always emphasizes when he shares his testimony that to him, a guy that will chase you out to your car while it's raining, I don't remember the rain, but he does, that's a guy worth paying attention to. Now, for somebody else, it might have offended him, but for Ivan, it was a God prompt in my life, just a spontaneous reaction, and it really got his attention. But little did we know that soon after that, Ivan would reach kind of a pinnacle in his career as a life underwriter, I think is the term, made it to the million-dollar round table. And some of you know that at that time was the pinnacle of the career. I don't know what's happening. It was the first time he got to this celebration meeting of life insurance salesmen in Atlanta, Georgia. And so right at the pinnacle of his career to that point, he ended up being flown back to Calgary by a medevac plane because a valve had given out in his heart, and he was close to death at that time. He teasingly says that through several emergency trips to the hospital, that one included and some after, that it seemed like I would get to the hospital before him as if I almost knew that he was coming, and I'd be there and pray for him. Through a series of interactions, through a growing friendship, even early in the stage where Ivan, he was a helpful kind of guy to other people, and he would invite me to come, and a lady that was, her husband was leaving her, and would I come and counsel him, and he would sit there and listen in as I would share something of the Christian truth and God's care for this person. But through all of that, Ivan accepted Christ as his personal Savior. You can imagine my thrill to baptize this big guy, even though we had to crunch up against one end of the baptistry that was there. And then later on, my joy when he actually became an elder in the church and we were able to serve together. Now, clearly, when we are dealing with the greatest gift, eternal salvation, we're into the realm of the spiritual. We know that when we received this gift, the Holy Spirit of God entered our lives and the Holy Spirit stays in our lives. That's the clear teaching of Scripture, dear Christian friend. That transaction took place. The Bible called it being baptized into the body of Christ. And even though you weren't aware of it at the time, the Bible says that when you prayed to ask for forgiveness of sins and ask Jesus to come into your life, God the Holy Spirit came into your life for a very clear purpose. He stays in your life for a very clear purpose. And the reality is there is part of the basis that we can even consider this adventure of walking across the room to share our lives with others. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus clearly tied the coming of the Holy Spirit into your life to two things. Number one, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that you would have spiritual power. You will receive power. And so, Christian friend, you have a power that those who have not received Christ do not understand and do not know. And then, in that verse, Jesus very clearly ties that power to a specific purpose in your life. And that is that you would be witnesses. Now, it goes on in that verse to say, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And who knows where that power in our lives expressed in witness may lead us. And we've just seen today that that will lead some to El Salvador. And sometimes it's a lifelong vocation to go somewhere else in the world. But sometimes we've missed that it's a call to have power to witness right in our own community. You, our friend, are no less called to witness than the missionary who goes to Indonesia or to any other place in the world. That verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, was not targeted to those who would be going out on missionary journeys. It was a declaration of truth for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this dynamic relationship that you have with the Spirit of God in you, as you surrender your day to the Lord on, a daily basis, the Spirit of God will prompt you to take the walk, to initiate a hello, to stick out a hand, to become a friend. And then there will be ongoing guidance for when you should not talk about your faith, which sometimes is just as important as there will be prompting when you should talk about your faith. And that's part of the growth in walking with the Lord to understand that. Listen, I've seen numerous techniques of witnessing come and go. I participated in many of them. I truly believe that the Lord Jesus wants us to relax, wants us to love people, wants us to genuinely build friendships with people that we don't yet know, to pray fervently, passionately for our friends, and then go and enjoy our friends some more, and depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to bring into their life the inner sense, that the conviction in your friend that he or she needs to open her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, that teaches us that we can partner with the Holy Spirit to know when to step into that zone of the unknown. It says in that verse, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the privilege of the dynamic relationship of God the Holy Spirit coming into our lives when we ask Jesus to be our Savior and we turn our lives over to Him. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus through His Holy Spirit. And as we walk in that relationship, He will guide us. We'll be able to keep in step with Him. Now, we're going to show you a little video clip today telling of this very process unfolding right here in our own community of faith. Jim Dornan is one of our elders. He's the chairman of our elders board. And he's going to share his story of what happened in their lives when they figuratively walked across a restaurant.
Well, the young lady we're talking about is Nancy. That's her first name. And Nancy was working at a Chinese restaurant as a hostess. And we got in there and got talking. And over a period of time, we got to know her. And found out she was from Hong Kong. And we having been there, there were some things we started to talk about. To talk about spiritual things for a while was not easy because it was just in and out of the restaurant. But we got to know each other over a period of a few years. And when we would talk, we'd ask her how she was. And this one day she said, "Well, I'm okay." And I said, "I heard the political announcement. How are you?" And she told us a problem that she was having, and it was family related, and didn't know what to do. And I said, "Well, you know, well, we can pray for you." And she sort of looked at us, and she said, "You would?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "We have an answer." I said, "We pray and ask God to guide and direct us." And I said, "When there are problems, this is who we turn to." And I said, "We'll do that." So that was the first impact that we had with her. Well, a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, she had a bad accident, slipped and fell, and was in real trouble. And we contacted her almost every day, Elmira or myself, prayed with her, and said that we would be there if she needed us. And about a year ago, when we're talking, she said, "You know, I really think I should start looking into what you seem to have." But being Chinese, I thought, you know, we have a Chinese congregation here. So we talked to Wing and asked him if he would be part of it. And he talked to her privately. And we went to a restaurant. It wasn't the Chinese restaurant, another one. And Wing met with us. And I said to her, I said, "You know, this is the time I think you really need to meet Christ as your own personal Savior." And she said, "Yes, I think so." And Wing stepped right in, prayed with her in their own language. We had a testament, which we gave her. We went and got a Bible for her because she didn't have it. And she has just blossomed from that.
Could know that eating frequently in a Chinese restaurant would be a way to walk across the room and to see someone come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's just the kind of surprises that God has for us. As we keep in step with the Spirit, and as we trust Him to guide us over a period of time in building friendship, taking an interest, and showing love. Did you see the God pattern in the story? So thank you, Jim and Elmer, for not only doing that for the sake of the kingdom, but for sharing your story with us as well. One of the false guilt things that we do to ourselves in being a witness for Jesus is that we think it's all up to me. And that story demonstrated that, yes, Jim and Elner had an important part in that, but there was also an important role that Pastor Wing from our Praiseline congregation played in that as well. I've learned some painfully humbling lessons along the way that I'm not the only tool in God's toolbox. Sometimes I'd like to think that I am, but you know, the scripture actually teaches that principle. We just have a hard time letting go of our own sense of importance, and then we build that into a sense of guilt sometimes in our lives. Listen to the principle in these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 9. As the Lord has assigned each his task, to each his task, I planted the seed, it's Paul speaking, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Isn't that a great truth? We're God's fellow workers, and he gives us an assignment. One's assigned to plant, one to water. We could expand the metaphor. Another is assigned to cultivate. Some are even have the privilege of harvesting in God's field. I remember this truth kind of slamming home in me when I baptized a young lady by the name of Kim. God had led us on an amazing journey of discipling a small group of young adults. When I met them, these young adults were not living for the Lord. They had had some church exposure in the past. They had had some exposure to the gospel. There had been some spiritual steps taken. They'd fallen back. But when I met them, their lifestyle was pretty raw. Drugs were a big part of their lives. They did want to know more about the Bible. And just through miraculous circumstances that I still shake my head over, I got involved with them. And they embraced me into their rough and tumble lives. The power of God's word was amazing to watch in their lives as they committed themselves to once a week studying the Word of God and talking about the principles of it. And it was an up and down and all over the place kind of study, as well as discussion about their lives. The process took over several years, included setbacks along the way. But I loved the adventure of the unknowns. I loved their blunt honesty and the spiritual victories as they came. I was so excited when Kim and her husband Brad wanted to be baptized. And I have to confess that some pride crept into my head over that. And I didn't say them to anybody, but in my mind, and it's far enough in the past, I can confess this to you today without you thinking too badly of me, because I've grown up since this, I think. But in my mind, I thought, boy, people are going to be amazed at how God used me. They're really going to think highly of me because I hung in there with these kids, and boy, look at the outcome. Well, when Kim wrote out her testimony, left me with her rough copy so I could review it ahead, guess what? I didn't even get a mention in her testimony. So after the first hurt of the pride balloon being popped, the Spirit of God reminded me of these verses and the divine principles that were clearly at work. I got to water some seed that some other people had planted in their lives during a time of extreme crisis in their lives. And it was an incredible privilege to have been a waterer of the seed. And believe me, there was huge celebration in my heart as I baptized them. As we apply this to our lives today, some plant, some water, some cultivate, I like a suggestion that is in these just walk across the room materials. I didn't bring a copy of the study guide, but we've duplicated it on the notes in the bulletin, and it'll come up on the screen as well. This helps us visualize what this passage teaches us about our part in helping people become disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's say we can make a graph of a person's spiritual journey. This graph is titled Individual Strides. Many people start out, as we get to know them, in a negative 10 relationship to Christ. We'll make zero on this graph, the line of faith where a person accepts Jesus as Savior. And a plus 10 will be a vibrant, mature Christian life. At minus 10, this life is like soil that is really hard and compacted. You heard John start to tell the story of the sower and the seed. And he's going to talk about, I assume he's going to talk about all four soils by the time he gets through. Talk about the rocky soil today. And that can be somewhere on this scale as well, as you think about that. The hard compacted path where some of the seed fell would be a minus 10. It's so hard that the seed just gets picked up by birds, that it doesn't have any chance to germinate and take root. God may use you to simply move a person to begin to think about spiritual matters. And maybe on this scale, that represents your involvement with a person, moving them from a minus 10 to a minus 9 or a minus 8. My first contact with Ivan probably moved him to a minus 9 in his life. Is that important? To move from a minus 10 to a minus 9 or a minus 8? Absolutely, it has to happen, doesn't it? And God may use you in that step that is crucial. You may not be there when that person crosses the line of faith, but it is serving God, it's walking across the room, it's sharing your faith if someone moves in a positive direction towards Jesus Christ. Another Christian may come after you and show unusual kindness, and maybe that moves the person to a minus 5. And it's not just all up to you. And I think one of the important realities is that in my experience of sharing the story of Jesus with people, I've encountered way too many people who have been up to a minus 2 and they've been criticized by a Christian. And what's happened? They've gone back to a minus 5. In fact, sometimes it goes down that and there's greater difficulty in them returning back to where they're open for the seed to take root, to germinate and to flourish, and for them to cross the line of faith. So sometimes, friends, serving this goal of God seeking out people to bring them to himself is you, with grit and determination, being honest in your dealings. Maybe it's you just swallowing that sharp retort that you were ready to give someone. And for the sake of Jesus, you just bury that within yourself. Maybe you feel like you've really been wronged and you should seek justice. But maybe you should accept that injustice for the sake of Jesus Christ and in turn offer a kindness back to that person. Maybe it has to do with that person moving from a -4 to a -2. How do you know? We need to assume, because God is our God, our Lord, and we're keeping in step with the Spirit of God, that our response in the Spirit of Jesus is in fact moving a person along in their journey to Jesus Christ. Maybe a calamity hits, illness. And sometimes that, even though it's very bad, is turned into something positive as a person responds to the good news of Jesus Christ. And they cross the line of faith into positive territory and begin their journey. There's a Christian somewhere along the way that plants the seed of truth. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But the soil has been cultivated. It's been broken up because of the kindness and the love of other Christians. And the soil is ready to receive that seed, and a great harvest came out of it. Maybe in the process, you invite your friend to the Christmas cantata, invite him back to your house afterwards. And some of us will have the privilege of praying with her or him as that person crosses the line of faith into positive territory. The important thing, friends, is that we take the walk. That our seed bag is always full and always being thrown out. I like an expression that comes out of the book that I was talking about. Is we become seed-sowing fools for Christ. That just has a good ring to it. We become seed-sowing fools for Jesus, throwing the seed out where we anticipate that it can be received well. Lots of friendship. Lots of living for Jesus Christ. Lots of interacting with others. Lots of chatting about our walk with God. Chatting about our church and sharing with people. You know, what a great opportunity all of us have this week in talking about a team of people from our church going to El Salvador to help build houses for people that lost their homes in a hurricane. Is anybody going to say, boy, you got a weird church? How do you think they're going to respond? They're going to say, wow, your church does that? That's really good. And what does that do on the scale? It may break up some ground, friends. It may be the most important start of a plow through the hard ground so that that soil will become ready for the seed of the Word of God. Do you have a friend that's in negative territory in relationship to Jesus? You know, one of the risks of being a long-term attender of a church is that all our friends eventually become Christians. And we don't even have any non-Christian friends. What did Jesus do? Walked across the cosmos. We can go to a restaurant repeatedly. Some of you ladies should like that, I think. And just tell your husband, this is part of our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to the same one. Get acquainted with the people. But what about the clerk at the grocery store? What about the neighbor at the playground that you meet over and over? And can build a friendship, intentionally taking the next step in the walk across the room. Friends, all of us can do that. Pray that God might use you in your care for that person, as you share experiences, as you share your words that you say to that person, that it might move them up the scale. And also pray that God will provide another fellow worker in God's field to water and to cultivate, to add to what you are giving into that person's life. With that kind of dynamic happening, the day may well come that your friend will accept the single greatest gift that there is in all of creation. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, it's exciting to think that this is a God pattern. And it really isn't that difficult. Thank you, Lord, for just breaking open our everyday lives, that we can see the principles of Scripture are going to move us along. I pray, Lord, that every person here, even while we're bowed in prayer, maybe just thinking about friends that they have, or friends that they might have, or where they might meet a friend and make a friend, and that out of that friendship, out of that genuine love and care, taking an interest in that person's life, will come the opportunity to gossip the gospel, to chat about what God is doing in their own life, what God is doing in our church, in other people's lives, is telling the story in so many different ways, sowing the seeds, being seed-sowing fools for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that each one of us this week will identify one walk across the room that we can take for your glory and to be obedient to you. May we be stirred during these weeks as we think more about this and apply more information and more ways that we can approach sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, as a whole congregation, we will begin to have seed flourishing throughout this community. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.